Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to the extra hour. I am Greg, and joining me is Pat and John. If you missed the first hour, you got to catch it. Talking about the seeking justice for Roy Middleton, beginning to see what's taking place in regards to the grand jury has finished. And we're going to talk about humiliating dilemma that these guys are laughing at me about, you know, I'm colorblind in some area. I can't say some colors. And I'm going to talk about that. But I think it really will help you begin to think a little bit deeper in the context of your life and begin to say, you know, I need to go deeper than life is deeper than our skin. God is so deep. Deeper than us, and he's down to our heart.
Oh yeah.
And you'll find out, you'll be really shocked. You'll be really shocked to find out when you were on the operating table about whose blood kept you alive. I love that. That's just beautiful.
That'd be very good.
It's true. It's true, because we're all the same. We're creating the image and the likeness of God. And God loves us. And so we find out about Jesus called us to reach all nations. That word comes, Greek word comes from, it comes from the Greek word ethnos, which is where we get the word ethnic. And so if we don't love our brothers of different, if we don't love our brothers of different ethnicity, then we don't love God.
That's right.
And we can talk more about that, you know. And you can stomp your feet all you want to, but we'll have a final exam at the throne room of
That's
God.
Right.
You know. Hope it works for you. Doubt it will, because God would have to be a liar, right?
That's right.
And he's not a liar.
Mm-mm.
And so, but I do want to say this. I want to say this because, you know, Dr. King said that, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that that there's a day, we need to begin to judge men on the not on the color of his skin, but on the context of his character. But understanding empathy is... Now, we just talked about it. You need to understand this. I know that we're to live a life of character, because I understand this. I'm an intelligent human being. I totally get it. And I understand how others define the context of that. I got it. I totally get it. But if you're empathizing, you can see why. If someone has been a good character for the last 10 or 20 years, I mean, think about it. I've been a normal person doing normal things, probably better than you type thing, you know, doing a character. I mean, God knows my character type thing. But all during those 10 and 20 years, I was judged on the color of my skin. And nobody could see beyond the thin veneer of my epidermis. How ignorant is that anyway?
Right.
But it's a stronghold. It's just true. And so they're being judged by the color of the skin. Why then nobody could, those individuals could not see past, they just like they talked about earlier, they couldn't see past the color. They didn't think they needed to. So understanding with empathy then, if somebody walks 10 or 20 years as a man of character, a woman of character, you know, just a godly woman, godly man, just good father, good mother, you know, just godly type person, just character. I mean, people you can just stand by and they can hold you up because they're so steady, you know? Then it would be easy to understand how they could have a momentary lapse in character. You know, get out of character for a moment. You know what I mean? I mean, if I went 10 or 20 years doing everything right, walking in the wisdom of what I personally believe personally, that Dr. Martin Luther King being an apostle, bringing America to the place that God's original intent was for us, all the ethnos walking together under Jesus Christ, is, and then you judge me, not on my character, but on the color of my skin. And so all of a sudden, when I get out of character for a moment, I just go there for a moment, just a moment now. This is not my life, just for a moment. I was in the coffee break room. You know, I was driving down the road. We were doing something. Just for a moment, I went there.
I flipped the switch.
Just for a moment. 10, 20 years, I didn't go there. I was a man of character. And now all of a sudden, you throw Dr. King's words in my face. You throw his words in my face. You throw his words after judging me by my skin color for 10 or 20 years, and I just momentarily have a lapse of character because that's the reality. It's all you saw, so I brought it up. I just wanted to have the conversation. And then you're going to throw his words in my face and tell me all of a sudden you're judging me off that one momentary lapse of my character instead of the 10 or 20 years that I was a man of character. And you know what? You don't even know I was a man or woman of character because you never look past my skin color.
Mm.
You never look past this veneer of my life. You never thought you had to. You know why? Because you're not colorblind. Because you're not colorblind. You just judge things off their surface and you don't look any deeper. But see, you wouldn't even have the guts to say if you observe a man's life for 10 or 20 years that he was a man of character when he expressed one momentary lapse in his character where he began to express his reality, you would have empathized with him and you would have said, I am so sorry because I know you're a man of character. I know you're a woman of character. I know that you were an awesome law enforcement officer for the last 10, 20 years. I know that you laid your life down. I know that you fought for this country. I know that you pastored that church. I know that you're a good, I mean, just, you empathize with them. But the fact that you can't empathize, you're not colorblind. The fact that you can't empathize and you're going to judge that man or woman just because they had a momentary lapse when somebody says something so, so veneer, so surfacey, so polarizing, so profiling, that give me a moment here. Because I've been walking around 20 years. I'm a member of the school board. I'm the president. I'm a congressman. I'm a police officer. I'm your neighbor. I stood up for you. I fought for you. And did you just say, dear God, forgive me for what I'm about to do. That momentary lapse, you know? That moment. You know what I'm talking about?
I know.
And so I just want to say this, that truly, if you throw Dr. King's quote in somebody's face who walked 10 or 20 years as a man and woman of character just because they wanted to have a conversation about their last 10 or 20 years of being judged by the color of skin and not their character, then you're not colorblind. So you need to have this conversation. And I'm talking to the church here. Listen, we are called to love each other, and it's the church that will rise up to this place. Rise up to this place. It'll be the church that will lead in this conversation. We got to begin to have this conversation. And when you go deeper than color, you're going to be shocked. You're going to be shocked at the beauty that's there. And it's still there, even with the color of all of us, but still, it's just the depth and the journey and the texture of their life and their personality, the person, and the awesomeness of God in their life and the love of God in their life, even on a dark journey when they need to come back. And then you understand, you know, part of healing me is understanding me. So if you let me begin to talk about my journey, I might end up in the same place you are instead of just shutting me down and all of a sudden saying, I have bad character. Excuse me. I didn't realize that you even noticed my character.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize you even noticed it. I thought all you, because every time a statistic comes out, you don't statistic me on my color, you statistic me on my skin. As a matter of fact, I'm called Americans in one point. I'm called American one point. But when it comes to crime, all of a sudden I'm a color? Black on black crime? Mm-hmm. What happened to being my brother? What happened to being Americans? What happened to be, hey, we need to help our fellow Americans here.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
To me, which means that we need to learn, dear God, give us your heart. Help us to empathize. Help us to walk out. Help us to understand your heart towards all the nations because you've called us to win them all and love them all, including our nation, and bring them to you. Because you want them to be your disciples, to enter into the family of God.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's activist and lead singer of U2, Bono, describing why social justice is such a driving passion in his life.
Jesus begins his ministry by what? By quoting Isaiah. He walks into the temple and he said that the blind may see, set the captives free, the poor, all of the sort of justice agenda. That's how Christ began. So if we aren't following that, that's what was at the heart of, apart from personal redemption, which is the key, the second most important drive of the entire New Testament is against injustice and where we see it in little or large ways.
So where do you see injustice, and what can you do to help those who are suffering? Bono will be featured on our broadcast tomorrow, and you can hear that on this station or at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I don't know if you actually found out about our newsletter. We have a newsletter, and it's called The Torch. And what this is about, it's about sending you and our listeners who subscribe to it on a weekly basis or biweekly or monthly, whichever one you desire, just let us know, what happened during that week. So many things happen in our life. We get so busy, and sometimes we forget or we want to share with our friends. Well, you can sign up today. You can subscribe today for The Torch. The Torch is the newsletter for the VFN TV and the Daily Radio program that we send out to you in your email, an update. What happened that week? What happened with some of the segments that happened on VFN Radio? What were some of the things that were loosed on VFN TV? What's happening prophetically? It'll come to you in your email if you sign up for The Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And click on subscribe and sign up for The Torch today so we can keep you informed tomorrow. That's VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I'm Greg, and joining me is Pat and John. We're just continuing this conversation now. We began talking about seeking justice for Roy Middleton and the grand jury coming back and giving their results, and just talking about colorblindness.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm colorblind, at least color challenged, and how that can actually apply to our lives.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking deeper than the color of skin.
Particularly, we need to see that more happen amongst those that say that they love the Lord and are believers and are Christians. I think Dr. King said that the most segregated hour is the church hour,
right?
That time that most people fellowship and mm-hmm. are part of a local fellowship. Mm-hmm. But if the church can get this right, if we can get this right, there's hope for the world.
And then something very important, you know, to talk about in the context of that because the vocabulary has been taken.
Yeah.
That when understanding what we talked about, you know, just a few moments ago, that when Jesus tells us to go make disciples of the nations, those are people who follow Jesus Christ mm-hmm. and get into the family of God. And nations it's where the word Greek word ethnos comes from, or ethnic groups, which means all of the different parts of us.
Mm-hmm.
Which means, and then we find out, he says, if you don't love that ethnic group, you know, whatever ethnic, mm-hmm. if it's different than your ethnic group, then you don't love God. If they're a brother in the Lord, assist the Lord, and you don't love them, you don't love God. So then you got to go back to now we're getting that knowledge. We got to think, this is what's happened. He said the most segregated moments, 11 mm-hmm. o'clock on Sunday, is now the church is not that building.
Right.
It's not that organization. It's not your denomination. Those are methodologies. To, you know, it's good mm-hmm. to have a building to stay out of the rain. It's good to have that kind of stuff. And it's not wrong to organize and that type of thing, your church, to make sure everybody's kind of got a rhythm, that type of thing. But the church is you. If you call yourself a believer, the church is you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look around at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, don't blame that building. Don't blame that organization. Don't blame even the minister who's pastoring there. Realize you're the church, and you got to ask yourself, if this thing is segregated, how come I don't have any brothers or sisters of a different ethnic group around me?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you see, I see is like this, we'll just use one example, and there's thousands of examples, mm-hmm. and it's like this, you know, 3,000, you know, white folks in this particular church gathering, and this minister is trying hard to help them understand this revelation,
mm-hmm.
but it's been several years, and it's like they're thinking that this is the church, they're not the church. He's just having an idea or a concept, not realizing they're the church. They're going to be held accountable, and they need to go out and win the ethnos. They need to go out and love the different nations, and they need to understand to love every nation is to love God, and that everybody's creating his image and his likeness. So you can't look around and blame the organization. You can look around where you meet. You can look around as a Christian where you gather. This Sunday at 11 o'clock when you come together, find out what kind of person you are. Look around you and see what you have around you. Is it a beautiful bouquet of all the beautiful ethnicities that God created, or is it just a whole bunch of one ethnic group? Don't blame, because remember, the church, you are the building of God. You know, Christ, don't you know that God's Spirit dwells inside of you? The Word of God applies to you. You stand alone. Your building don't stand alone. You stand before you. Your organization doesn't stand before you. Your pastor doesn't stand up for you. An apostle doesn't stand up for you. You stand alone before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for your life. And the Word of God is applied to you. And if you say, well, they and them, you were deceived, and you're going to find out you were deceived at the throne room of God, because he's going to say, you've been deceived. That's the Satan is the deceiver.
Right.
And so you can, so now when you realize that you're the church and you look around, you're thinking like, I'm the one that don't love the nations. And it could be because your nation has been hurt. It could be because you're wounded. But you know what? You still got to stand alone before God. So you got to be like Dr. like Captain Alexander, David Alexander said, you know, with the Pensacola Police Force, he said, and in ministry, he says, you have to be willing to be healed. Because if you're not willing to be healed, then you're not going to love the nations.
Yeah.
You know, think about it. And he says, I'll give you the ethnos as an inheritance. I'll give you the nations as an inheritance. Because God loves us.
How can you fulfill the Great Commission?
Right.
If you have those things inside of you that hinder you and limit you.
That's right.
And it makes me think also of another situation where, you know, this particular large group of believers are trying to push through the envelope, and they have a ministry trying to push through the envelope. So they hire one person of a different ethnic group.
Check.
And all the pressure, you know, 3,000 people of another ethnic group. All the pressure is on that one person.
Wow.
And they think because they brought one person of a different ethnic group in here, that's going to solve all their problems. The truth was, it's all everybody in there. Everybody has to begin to love the nation.
Absolutely.
And everybody, if you go out and meet one other nation, one other ethnic group, you know, guess who's coming to dinner tonight? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Let's just spend time eating together, talking together, meeting together, and be pleasing to God, because that, and this is what excites me, John. This is what excites me. Is the third great awakening, I think, is a key part of this. When I, you know, we read about Rick Joyner when he was talking about, you know, what would take place in America, that understanding this revelation that we're talking about today in the first and second hour could bring the third great awakening to America.
Absolutely. When you think about the, you know, I think one of the key things you said is the empathy. I think we need to get outside of our own experiences and our own what is normal to us.
Our own nation.
Yeah. And getting to understand other people of different, you know, ethnic descent. One of the things that I love that we do different times is we eat each other's food. You know, one of the way of getting to know somebody is eating their food, their culture, and understanding that the world is made up of a whole lot of different people than just the people that are like us. And
how I know you really love me, when you're willing to sit down and have meal with me.
That's right. That's right.
On my dishes.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we need to start doing, because if he or she is a brother in the Lord, then you should have no problem, because the same Jesus is in you is in them.
Yeah.
And if you're hating that brother or that sister, you're walking around in darkness, you're stumbling all over the place, and to say you love God, 1 John says you're a liar. But listen, that's wonderful to find out on this side of the cross, because you can repent.
Yeah.
Instead of finding out in the throne room of God.
And I'll say, too, we need to get past looking and identifying people by their flesh instead of by who they are. It's like,
it's white on white crime. Why do you, white on white crime.
And we black on black we can't crime. Do it from the pulpit and say, I need to have soul and like somebody, another race. Like, really? It's like, you just push those people aside and just label them. You know what I mean?
I got a good friend that's a Puerto Rican.
Yeah, exactly. What does that mean? What does that mean? You know?
So you don't have any other Puerto Rican friends? Is that what you're saying? Is that what's going on right there? I got one friend that's a Saints fan.
Yeah.
dedicated saints.
Can't help you there.
I can't. Right?
Trouble.
So, you know, in the context of that, this was on my heart because I'm thinking, you know, and you can hear the whole context of this, that about 90 days ago, you know, Roy Middleton, 60-year-old man on the Gulf Coast, lives in Pensacola, Florida, there on the Gulf Coast, was at his house at around midnight in his car, under his carport, in his yard, about 5, 8, 10 feet approximately from his door into his carport. And suddenly in the dark of the night, because they got a call from someone else, but suddenly in the dark of the night, because Roy doesn't know this, all of a sudden there's two police officers in the dark who you can't see, right?
Right.
You can't see. All of a sudden begin to call out and start firing shots at you. 15 shots, and two of them hit him. Blow up his, you can see this on the VFN torch. You can see these pictures, and you can go to, we have links where you can go actually see the video we're talking about. And blows his thigh out. He said that he had wrote me and said that he has a rod in his leg. He asked to pray for him and his family. But the Florida Department of Law Enforcement, which is the state investigation agency, you know, they reviewed everything that happened with the two officers and Roy Middleton. And they said that they didn't see anything outside of norm, that, you know, nothing was done, you know, wrong in the context of they're still working there. Secondly, then it goes to the grand jury, which is the constitutional thing that your neighbors and your friends and people that can look at the evidence, and the grand jury looks at all the evidence of what took place, and they say that that these officers, you know, haven't done anything wrong. They just need some training.
Yeah, that's the most shocking.
Need some training. But this is the thing. And it was said so quickly by Sue Strong with TV3, which is a really cool lady, a Christian lady. And just so quickly, I was just like shocked. I was just shocked. And so I had to watch it again. After I had to call my friends, like, I think I'm just, because it was like a void. Nobody's responding. I'm like, okay, I'm just missing it. I'm overreacting. Something's going wrong. Something happened. And so I'm calling some of my friends. I'm like, is this right? Is this going on? They're going like, no, no. And one of my friends, you know, said, yeah, my daughter just called me and asked me the question, Dad, these are two people of color. Dad, what do you think about that? And he goes to his daughter. This is tragic. He goes to his daughter. He says, I had to distract her and turn her eyes to God because of the realities that's going on. My heart just broke. I was like weeping in the context of this. And so at 10 o'clock, I watched it again. And this time, they said it again, you know, in the context of who was night. But right after they said it, now listen, this is context. This happened on WERTV News in the same region, the same hemisphere, spiritual hemisphere, you know, wrestle not against flesh and blood, against spiritual wickedness. On October the 16th at 10 p.m. Central Time, when the news comes on, I guess it is, they said, this is what they said, the officers, and paraphrasing, the officers that shot Roy Middleton, the unarmed Roy Middleton, they thought that was lunging towards them, that was the word, from a distance, in his own car, in his own driveway, 15 times, the grand jury clears them. And their recommendations is, everybody that's been 4 years or less needs some training, which means, and then this is the next scene on the news. And I can't tell you his name. He's an African-American man. He said, whatever his name is, he says he shot a man twice. And the man lived, and he's got life in prison. So two police officers shoot an African-American man 15 times. 15 times. Two of them hit him only because they're bad shots. Testimony of the sheriff himself is the fact that
one of them
was scared. And so then they saw the other officer shooting. They started shooting at Roy too. And Roy's like, you know, how long is it going to take your brain to connect? You got to hear the whole conversation that we've been having. But in the context of that, it fades out and it goes to the next story, like, right, the next story. And the next story is this man And I'm not saying, you know, I don't know this man. I mean, mm-hmm. he probably deserves a life sentence. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve a life sentence. And all of a sudden, they said he walked up and he shot a man twice, and the man lived, and they said he gets a life sentence. Mm, mm, mm. You know, say what you want to. That's a dangerous thing. That's an unjust thing. Mm-hmm. And what God says, this God says, no one cries for justice. And this is what he also says that I'll talk about in Isaiah. He says, if we wait too late, we're bait. Mm-hmm. If we wait too late, we're bait. And when we get back, I took the time, and I don't normally do this, because when I saw what Sue posted, I felt like Sue understood for some reason. I just felt like, and she had to do her job. She's mm-hmm. a newscaster. But I just kind of felt her spirit, and maybe I didn't, but my heart just went out to her. So she posted on her Facebook with TV3. And so I said, I just want to speak to Roy there. And towards this, because I could only imagine. So I wrote this, dated on October the 16th, 2013. Dear Roy Middleton, I first want to say I'm sorry for what happened to you. I can only imagine what it must feel like to be in your car, under your carport, at night, at your own house, at 60 years of age. It's not easy for me to move around because of injuries that I've had in my own life. And I am sure by the time you're 60 in your life, many things have happened that cause you to walk differently. But I cannot say, and even relate to how you must feel tonight as a man of color and what has taken place, walking differently because of your life experiences. And now, the physical and emotional impact of being shot at 15 times in the dark, in your own driveway, at your own home, with a metal rod now in your leg about 90 days later. Was this true what I heard? Did they really say what I thought they said? Did Sue Strong report that the deputies that work for you, a citizen of Escambia County, under the sheriff, you and other fellow citizens allowed to be sheriff for a moment in history, say nothing was wrong? Everything's okay? All we need is more training? Dear God, forgive us for injustice. Forgive us for having calloused hearts. Forgive us for not feeling the infirmities of our brother Roy. Roy, I'm shocked. I'm sad. I'm concerned about you. The thoughts that rush through my mind and my heart tonight as you have to lay in your home a few feet away from where you were shot 15 times, surrounded by a state that said, nobody did you wrong. Mm. FDLE. And by a county that just convened a grand jury that said, nobody did you wrong. And surrounded by deputies that are patrolling you, your neighborhood tonight. And I know as a former sheriff deputy myself that there are many good law enforcement officers, but I can't help but feel that how do you know that who might hurt you next? How do you know? How can you sleep? Never forget this. I think about Dr. King, what he said, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He said this. He says, never forget that everything Hitler did in Germany was legal. Our God, Roy, is a just God and the one who justifies. His eyes look over the earth to see whose heart is dependent upon him. He says, no one cries for justice in Isaiah 58:4. But tonight, I want you to know, Roy, that I do call for justice before God tonight. I pray that the Lord would comfort you and keep you and set his angels guard over you and your family and your heart and your homes and all the people of color who feel a deep sense of injustice has taken place. A deep sense of what? What about me? What about my wife? What about my husband? What about my father? What about my children? One of my African-American friends told me, after Sue Strong made this report on WEAR TV3, All you have to do is feel scared of me to be justified in killing me. Mm. Dear God, forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. Let justice roll on like a river. Righteousness like a never-failing stream, the prophet Amos said in 5:24. By the way, my African-American friend who told me the following after Sue Strong's report on WEER-TV3, who said, all you have to do is feel scared of me to be justified in shooting me or killing me. That's an African-American who is an excellent father, person, son, friend, Christian. He's also a law enforcement officer. You see, it's time for us to have this conversation. He's an outstanding law enforcement officer of the community. With distinction, he serves and sacrifices. Roy, I'm broken. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I'm shocked. But I want you to know, as you asked us to do when you wrote to us, we're praying for you, man. We're praying for you. And God's going to help us get through this because we want the blessings of God in the Northwest Panhandle of Florida and in America.
Wow. You know, when you hear something like that, it's so refreshing. And we have a chance to talk about this before. But it's sobering. It's sobering. It's a reality. And maybe this is the beginning of bringing healing to this Gulf Coast area. We got to talk about it. We got to get real. We got to share what's happening and have empathy for one another and not say it's just clear and cut. Everything's not just black and white. It really isn't. Let's talk about it.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
VFN Dream Center. You think about it. There was a day that God gave Joseph a dream, and he began to share it, and of course, et cetera, abuse and things that were going on. But understand this. There came a day when suddenly he began to speak and the dream came to pass. And I just want to encourage you right now. I want to welcome you to the dream. I want to welcome you to the VFN Dream Center because the Lord is setting up cities. He's setting up hubs, apostolic hubs. He's setting up church is not going to even be recognized in the future where we're going because we're about to be the church of the Bible under the God of the Bible, under the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want to be a part of what God is doing in the earth, to rise up, to bless what presently is, but let go of that to be able to move into what God is going to do, to dive into what God and be a part of it, maybe the VFN Dream Center is for you. Maybe the VFN Dream Center for you. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org. You can join us on the Emerald Coast if you're local, or you can join us online and be one of our virtual members that join us on VFN TV by going to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or approximately, live on VFN Radio. Find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
Wow, at VFN Radio, we are looking for greater ways for you to be able to connect anywhere you go. We know that you can listen to VFN Radio on the go through the app, but now we also have the podcast. It's a great way for you to be able to automatically get all the segments totally downloaded to your digital device, no matter where you're at. You can go to VFNTV.com and click podcast, and you'll configure it and set it up so that no matter where you're at, you automatically have all of the highlights automatically downloaded on your digital device. VFNTV.com, click podcasts.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Hello, I'm Greg, and here we are, Pat and John. If you missed it, we just were talking about you know, the Roy Middleton situation. It's finished. I've said it. And I want to invite you Roy to be on VFN TV, the Christian television network that spans around the globe and definitely around the nation. And we want to begin to have a conversation. We've got, as a church now, we've got to begin to say, dear God, you know, we've heal us. And part of healing me is hearing me. So we got to have the conversation. We got to begin to have it. You know, does it really matter who's driving the car?
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? If you really think about this, does it really matter? That's what Captain Alexander were talking about when he was on the air. I was like, I mean, think about it. Does it really matter? Does it matter? And I'm going to move on in the context of that. But you can see more of that on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. Click on the torch, which you actually can see normally burning behind me right there. Let's see if we get it right there. And I see Christian Television Network as well.
You sure does.
Also, now it disappears. You know, it was close to me. Now it's like whatever.
There it is.
And so we're talking about over this conversation, remember, about organizing and that type of thing. And I want to say, you know, at the beginning of this, you know, that a mother can organize her house and it's cool. You know what I'm saying? A father can organize his family, and that's just wonderful. You can organize your bookshelf, and that's wonderful. So the word organize is not a bad word. You know what I'm saying? It's the context of what's behind we're talking about. What is the reason? What is the motive behind it? And I truly believe, and I've said it in the context of it, that people have taken captive so much vocabulary and past experiences of others. And they're just using them for their own causes.
Hijacking
it. And one is, who I believe is an apostle of the Lord, is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who walked out. And you got to see this. It's going to, by the time we finish up these last three tactics talking about them, you're going to see a comparison. On one side, you're going to see Saul Alinsky's dedication and his methodology, his tactics. And on the other side, you're going to see Dr. King's dedication and his tactics and compare them. And one is light and one is dark. One is Jesus and one is Lucifer. You know what I'm saying? In regards to Lucifer's tactics, that is not Dr. King. And Dr. King organized in the context of the United States Constitution. And not only did he do that, I mean, he stayed within the context of the laws, and he was a lawyer, but he also stayed under God's law. He stayed faithful to God and walking under God's. I mean, the Ten Commitments that you had to walk, and we're going to see these Ten Commitments. And so we can imitate those through faith who have gone before us in our own very nation of how to walk out in the context of America, walk out for the fullness of what is right and what is just. I love what Dr. King said on one of the interviews. I think it was like 60 Minutes or whatever it was at that particular time, the News Hour or whatever. They had like a piece of paper come up over there. It was like very, you know, no graphics. And but he says, well, he says, what do you think about, you know, that folks are they're saying that people are breaking the law and they weren't. He did not support that at all.
No.
But he did say this, because the Constitution is about justice for all. And so every citizen has the constitutional right and protection of the Constitution and what's there. So therefore, every unjust law is not a law at all. Does that make sense? And so, because it's not constitutional.
It's the Constitution.
But that has to be weighed out in the courts. And so you test that by, you know, going to the courts, and the courts check it out to see if it's just or not. That's why sometimes they make a law, but they take it to the courts, and the courts go, you got to throw this out because this is an unjust law. It is not constitutional. So I thought that was, you know, just brilliance in the context of that. And so we're talking about Saul, the Pharisee. It talks about in the book of Acts, when we're talking about the man that God used to write one half of the New Testament, they build Bible schools on. I mean, he was an organizer. He was organizing for Lucifer. And you can hear this whole thing, you know, but when we're talking about the next aspect of it, because in the beginning, he was organizing for darkness, persecuting the light, the church. And as he was going to the road to Damascus, with spewing out venomous threats against the church, he bumped into the light. He ran into Jesus and he met God who he thought he was serving, when he did meet God, he immediately allowed God to begin to organize him and said, you are the supreme organizer. And he began to organize his life. Why? Because then we find out that Jesus is the supreme organizer of the church. So, hey, when we're moving in pride and in darkness, we're organizing. Mm-hmm. But when we're moving in obedience to Jesus, he's organizing. Even if it means we're walking in the context of something like Moses was walking at when God was delivering a people, it's still under the leadership of God. Mm-hmm. Moses got his orders from God. And Dr. King, based on what his testimony is, and his niece, Pastor Evita King, you know, and just hearing is just beautiful to hear. And I'm looking forward to one day being able to speak and talk with him. But then, you know, you had the persecutor organizer who was persecuted in the church, which was Saul.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gets saved and gives his life to Jesus to say, here I am, he allows God to begin to organize him. And what happens is he was working in the kingdom of darkness when he was persecuted in the church. But now that he's actually moved into the kingdom of light, persecution doesn't go away. It just shifts. Because today, we're going to talk about the last part of this, is Saul the persecuted. Saul the persecuted. It's not the persecution doesn't go away. It's just now you're not persecuting folks because you've entered into the light. And it's a battle between kingdoms. It's a very simple equation. It's a battle between good and evil, light and dark, Lucifer and God. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're on Lucifer's side, when you're walking in darkness, you are under his instruction, under his command, and you are a slave to what you obey and who you obey. But when you are up under Jesus Christ, you are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness, but the kingdom of light.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so now, where you were once in the kingdom of darkness and you persecuted Christians and believers and gave those folks a hard time, understand now, when you move into kingdom of light, they're going to persecute you. It's not abnormal. It's just what happens in this battle between the light and dark.
Mm-hmm.
And so we look now, here's Paul, you know, and Saul. You know, he's been organized by God, and he's gone through his experience and his training, and Jesus is organizing his life now and leads him on a journey. In Acts chapter 21, verse 27, it starts when he's talking about the persecution that takes place. It says, when the Jews saw Paul, this is Saul, saw Paul at the temple, we would say the church, right? Mm-hmm. The religious thing. When they saw him there, they stirred up the whole crowd. They organized the crowd. See, there was a day that Paul was the one that stirred up the crowd around Stephen. We talked about it. But now he's being organized again. Just relax. Just relax. You just switch kingdoms. It's cool.
That's it.
You switch kingdoms. The difference is now you got to listen to the orders of the supreme organizer. You're no longer calling the shots. You start calling the shots, you move into the kingdom of darkness. And so they stirred up the crowd began to organize around Paul, which that's Saul's name, got changed to Paul. And they seized him. They organized such a way that they actually see the crowd seized Paul. And they shouted to the crowd. They began to hold up, quote, these proverbial signs and text things out. And they said, men of Israel, help us. These organizers are saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said, this is the man who teaches all men everywhere against our people. Remember those words, our people. Against our laws. Remember that, our laws. And thirdly, against this place. Remember that, this place. Men and women held in captivity in darkness, even religious darkness, take it personal. They take it personal when this happens. They feel that you're against them. For they are overtaken by self-preservation. Our people, our way, our place. Satan has convinced them, Lucifer has convinced them, that those who are for the kingdom of God are against them. But what really is happening is that the presence of God's kingdom, the preaching of God's kingdom, the seeking of God's kingdom reveals and exposes what they've been building and are now depending on, which is their kingdoms, their place, their way, their people. When we get back, I'm going to share more with you.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Here we are. Yes, VFN TV, the daily radio program, a network that God is building through your gifts. Amazing thing, because it can't be built by human hands. Things that God does cannot be built by human hands. So make sure that you join in and just offer up at VFNTV.com and sponsor and become an underwriter today. Listen, we are shining the light, keeping the conversation light on all who want to be in the light, who listen, our audience. That's right. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, a network that God is building through your love gift. Sponsor today, partner today, become an underwriter. Go to VFNTV.com and follow the prompts. Well, there's nothing like having a light, knowing where you're going in the dark place. And we're told that darkness covers the earth, thick darkness covers the folks, covers the people. But Jesus, the light of the world, he came to give us light. That's what's so awesome. And it says, you know what? Not only did he come to give us light, but he came to be the light, but he came to give us that light, which is the life of men. And then he gave us the word which is the light. He is the word, and the word became flesh. As a matter of fact, if you have not yet, catch this moment at the VFN Dream Center. Listen how important it is, to be in the light.
If you just get enough light and word to get saved and find out where you are in Christ, but you spend no time walking out the word, it's not going to end well for you. There's going to be a lot of people who went that way, and they're going to encourage you on that wide way, and they're going to tell you you're totally fine. As a matter of fact, George Barna says in Barna Group, he does a statistical survey of the church, and he says 81% of regular church attenders who say they go to church, according to George Barna, don't even read the light. They don't even read the word. What does that automatically mean? They're in what? Darkness. And so you have a dark, spiritually speaking, people looking at a dark leadership, 530 people in Washington, D.C., and they're thinking that my darkness is going to change their darkness. It's like, that's foolishness. That's a riot. Yes, it's gross darkness. And not only does he say that 81% of the people who call themselves Christians are not reading the Word, he says that 19%, out of the 19% that are reading the Word, only 3% of them actually use it as light to get around. They actually read it and apply it to their life. In other words, they look at the map, they find out where they are, and they change their direction based on the map, on the Word of God. Which means what? 97% of the people who call themselves Christians, according to George Bonner, are where? In the darkness. That's why 97% are not giving to God in his tithes and offerings, because they're in darkness. They don't know. You don't know what you don't know. But what's so crazy is because they're not reading. They're going to Washington, D.C. and marching out there and complaining about them taxing them too much money on their taxes and doing this and doing that. And it's like, okay, you're saying that you're paying too much taxes while you're robbing from God. It's like, you need to get in the Word. It's not going to be good. Satan's going to eat your lunch. You're going there telling people how to be married and how not to be married. And look at yourself. If you read the Word, you find out your marriage is in shambles. Your children are just trying to survive your darkness. Come on. We wouldn't get in a fight. We're going to lose that fight. I'm just saying. 97% is in darkness. Well, you can say, well, that's just terrible. You say, oh, I just need to be the light then. Jesus came as one and became many. Then we can become one in Him, and we can what? Become many. People just don't, the enemy has underestimated you and the power of your wattage when you decide to live a godly life before God. You walk in the workplace and the place goes, and demons are like, oh, she's here, he's here. Because they know you're the light when you walk in. They're like, whoa, Susie's here. They go like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say that around you. You're like, how in the world would you even be bothered with that? What you did to me was worse than what you just said to me. Anyway, because they see the light, they know.
It's so important. If you want to get a chance to join the dream, go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. VFNradio.org. You can even join us physically, or you can join us virtually. It's VineFellowshipNetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, I'm Greg. Joining me is Pat and John. I want to continue this conversation talking about this progression of kingdoms is what we're really seeing here, because all of a sudden, when I was talking about you preach the kingdom of God, all of a sudden other men's kingdoms begin to surface, and they begin to fight for their people, their way, their place. And so, but Jesus tells us the very first thing we do when we actually decide that for him to be our supreme organizer, when we make him the Lord of our life, he says to do this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the way he wants us to order our life. That's the very thing, the first thing he tells us to do. Why? Because you just entered into his kingdom. You didn't enter into no program. You entered into the king's dominion. And so you left one kingdom and you entered into another kingdom. The kingdom you just left is not going to be happy about it. And we're just finding out right here, they're not happy that Paul left their kingdom. And they're angry. This is the man that's teaching another kingdom. He's teaching, you know, so all of a sudden. So Jesus tells us the first thing you do is seek first the kingdom of God, the king's dominion in your life. Well, that's not a big deal if you heard this whole conversation, because he is the supreme organizer. You don't organize yourself anymore. Mm-hmm. You don't organize your marriage. God organizes these things, and you do, he says in the context of that, and he empowers your marriage to actually work. Luke 17, 20 through 21, he talks about this, where the kingdom is located. So it doesn't matter what people are organizing on the outside. They're going to do all that kind of stuff. We heard about that, and we heard about when Jesus was offered the kingdoms of this world by Lucifer. He said, they were given to me, I'll give them to you. And he's like, forget it. So this is what Jesus says. He says, once he was being asked by the Pharisees in Luke 17, 20, he was being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. And Jesus told them, the kingdom of God is not something that can be observed, nor will people say, here it is, or there it is. Why? Because the kingdom of God is within you. In your midst, understand this, everywhere Paul went, under the supreme organizer of Jesus Christ, that's where the kingdom of God went. Mm-hmm. You're a kingdom container. The king, God, dwells inside light. So everywhere you go, you bring light if you are a child of the day, I mean, if you are a child of the light. Yet there's other kingdoms in this world. There's other kingdoms that other than God's kingdom. I mean, this is what happens in Luke 4. He tells us about it here in Luke 4 when the devil Lucifer led Jesus, or he was led, actually he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, but the devil Lucifer led Jesus. This is Luke chapter 4, verse 1 through 2 and 5 and 9. The devil Lucifer led Jesus up to a high place, I mean, all the way to the top of, I don't know, Washington, D.C., maybe to a Mount Moriah in Israel, I don't know, to a high place, and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and said to Jesus, I will give you all their authority, all their splendor, And then he says this. This is Lucifer. Lucifer says it's the Son of God. I will give you all their authority and all their splendor, for it has been given to me. Lucifer said, it's been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want.
Mm-hmm.
But you understand now, there's one kingdom called the kingdom of God, and there's a whole bunch of these other kingdoms under the kingdom of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, that's not true, you're a liar. He didn't say that. He says, if you'll worship me, if you'll bow down to me, I'll give you these kingdoms, and they'll be yours. Jesus didn't call him a liar. He just said, listen, it is written, worship the Lord your God and him only. He understood what he's telling us, that his kingdom is not of this world. This battle, whether it's an individual battle with yourself, whether it's a battle in your family, when it's a battle, maybe it's a battle in your community, maybe it's a battle in your state, in your nation, your region, in the world, are all battles of kingdoms. It's over who's king. Whose dominion. It's all about just what Saul was doing at first, and now what's happening to him. My people, my laws, my place, my stuff, my things. The kingdom of God is what it's all about for us. Luke 4, 42, 43. The people tried to get Jesus to stay in their town when he was walking through his ministry. And this is what he said. He said, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns, because this is why I was sent. Mm. This is why he was sent. It's about the kingdom of God. And then John the Baptist, he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And Jesus sends his disciples out in Matthew 10, 7. He says, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. And as Jesus was sent to preach the good news of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Now he says in John 17, 18, and as you fathers, he's praying to the Father, to the creator of the universe, his Father. He says, as you, Father God, sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from Lucifer. How was he sent? Why was he sent? To preach the kingdom. To preach the kingdom. Listen, this is a sign of the end of the age. He talks about it in Matthew 24. Great deception. Many false claims of many people calling themselves, they're false Christians, false prophets, false preachers. All that stuff, wars, rumors of wars, nations will rise against nation, ethnic group against ethnic group, kingdom against kingdom, families divided, earthquakes, famine. Christians will hate. Christians will be hated by every nation that exists out there. Many false prophets. During this time, many will turn away from their faith, from the kingdom of God. There will be a great falling away, a betrayal of others because of this great darkness and wickedness, that the love of most will grow cold. But this is what he says in Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom of God will be preached to the whole world as a test before all witnesses, to all races. Then the end will come. Why does he tell us to pray? When he tells us to pray, he says, listen, our Father, who art in heaven, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.